T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Oh yeah. I'm always a fan of Doug and Donna, and they did such a great job with that song. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. On Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. I should probably open it up and see if anyone's messaged me on there. It's been somewhat of a busy night, and I do like the busy nights, but we have one more hour together. And then from midnight to 2, we do the replay hours. You're going to hear an interview about Sam Colt. Author Jim Rosenberger wrote about the six shooter that changed America. Such a cool look at American history. And believe it or not, lots of history here in St. Louis when it comes to the six shooter, at least Sam Colt and his family. But you didn't know Sam Colt's brother lived here in St. Louis, but you didn't know he's involved in a duel. Also, Gene Sperling from 1 Till 2 will replay our interview with him. He is someone that wrote a book called Economic Dignity. We'll let him explain that. Michelle Walker was someone that wrote a book, The Gray Rhino. We'll talk about that, too, from 1 Until 2. Some great replay hours set for you. That kind of rhymed. You can go to KMOX.com/ONA, and you can actually find the podcast right there for yourself. And I said I was going to play this last hour, and I didn't get a chance to do it. So what I'm going to do is play an update from Rush Limbaugh. So on his program yesterday, this would have been how he started the show. He talked about how his medical treatment has been going, and it's been really rough on him. He was trending on social media there for a little bit as this clip started to circulate. And as you can imagine, not everyone says the nicest things, even when someone's talking about their struggles with cancer, but internet could be a terrible, terrible place. And a lot of times when you see the things that they're saying about Rush Limbaugh, basically, I don't even want to repeat it. It's not worth it. But I know that a lot of people listening here recognize and understand the importance that he's had in radio. We know that he's a local guy in Cape Girardeau, and we also know that he cares a lot about Missouri. So here's an update from Rush Limbaugh in case you missed it in his fight against his cancers.
For the last 7 days, I have been virtually worthless, virtually useless. I haven't left the house. I haven't done much of anything except just try to rest and relax. All of this was told to me. It was going to be a factor. I mean, nothing is happening that was not told to me, nothing I haven't been warned about. And this is what I mean by those of you who haven't gone through this, you know what it is. And it's just, it's the price that you pay if you make the decision to go ahead and do treatment to try to prolong your life. I'm doing extremely well, all things considered. The fact that I'm even here today, you know, every day I wake up and the first thing I do is thank God that I did. Just waking up is a blessing. I know many of you are praying daily and nightly. I happen to believe that they work. I believe that they are sustaining me. And I pray for the energy to be able to do this. But I have to, folks, I have to be honest. I do not have the energy that I used to have. I'm going to have to take this. You know, I didn't realize until I got sick. I honestly didn't. You're going to may think this is strange. I didn't realize how much physical and mental energy doing these 3 hours, the way I do them, with no guests. And, you know, I don't do anything to give myself a break during the 3 hours. I take not even that many phone calls on a normal basis. And the amount of energy that it took to do that, a lot of people, what do you mean energy? You're sitting on your butt for three. Yeah, but I guarantee you, folks, and I can prove this with any kind of measurements, my heart rate skyrockets during these 3 hours. My caloric burn is the highest of the day during these 3 hours. The mental aspect of it, which to me, another name for it is performance pressure. The compunction I feel to do as well as I can every day, to meet and surpass your expectations, creates demands. And I was unaware of how much it was.
Wow. So that's an update from Rush Limbaugh. It happened at the start of his program. And I got to say, it was, you know, it's tough for him to go in there and say just how defeated he feels, because he's been fighting this for as long as he has, and how exhausting it is and how it makes him feel. And it's an ongoing battle. And he looks forward and notices that that battle's going to be here for the rest of his life, really. We wish him the best. And we know that Rush Limbaugh means a lot to the radio industry. And we know that he means a lot to people that are listening to this program, have probably followed him for decades. So let's hope for the best. And Rush, we love you. Let's hope that things turn around. Normally, we would play the patriotic song of the night, the last thing of the hour, but last hour we were taking your calls, which is perfectly fine, so I wanted to save the patriotic song of the night for this hour, which we're going to do here. And we do this as a reminder that, you know, we've been faced with some tough things in the past. We're going to get through this, and as Americans, we'll do it together. We'll get through this. There is light at the end of the tunnel. We can't be optimistic about it all. So our patriotic song tonight is Johnny Cash, Ragged Old Flag on KMOX.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, 'Can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. because she's been through the fire before. And I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning. We take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her upright. On second thought, I do like to brag, 'cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
I'm glad we got that update. Good old Rush Limbaugh update if you missed it from the other day. And I know that if you're a late night radio person like myself, that you're not always around to listen to it during the day. So sometimes you catch it secondhand. And I'm hoping that will at least be a good update for some that have been wondering about Rush's health. I've been curious about this topic. I've saw online the YouTube page called Cart Narcs. It's so weird. Let me give you just a rundown of what it is. And I want to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how infuriating is it when you see someone not return their shopping cart when they go shopping, right? They just leave it right in between cars. They don't take it back to the cart area. Every place that has a shopping cart has some sort of a cart bin where all you got to do is go and just return it to that bin. You don't have to go return it to the store. But still, some people find it so difficult on their very busy lives that they can't bother themselves to return the cart that they were able to retrieve to begin with. So there's a YouTube page called Cart Narcs and what they do in California. It is so weird and dumb at the same time. I've seen a couple of these. It's a guy, and he's got this basic yellow vest on that you would see normally like a construction worker that's out in the road. And he also has one of those flashlights that have a cone at the end. And if he notices someone that just dumps their cart in the parking lot without taking it back to the cart bay, that he confronts them. And he said, hey, sir, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Hey, sir, you didn't return your cart. Why didn't you return your cart? You know, that's not where the cart goes. And he confronts these people, and they get so angry with them, so angry. And he films all of this and posts it online, and it makes those people look so stupid for not doing the common courtesy thing, which is returning their shopping cart. There may be some people listening right now that don't return their shopping cart. Why don't you return your shopping cart? Seriously. If you're one of those people that just refuses or doesn't do it or doesn't think it's worth your time, I would love to figure out why. Why? Because you understand people hate you. I mean, it's true. People see these things and they do not like the people that just leave these carts out in the parking lot. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. There was a article, and this is a couple years old, from Scientific American. Why don't people return their shopping carts? And you see sometimes they'll put the front two wheels over the curb and they'll leave it there. And this is what they say. Oh, the cart bay is too far away from where I parked. And if you were to calculate it, you might add an extra 40 steps, 20 there, 20 back. It's not like it's on the other side of a building or anything like that. Here's one. They have a child who they don't want to leave unattended. Okay. I guess that's one thing, but somehow you got a cart with that kid, didn't you? You got the cart with the kid. That's weird how that works out. The weather is bad. Oh, you can't be bothered to put it back because the weather is bad. Oh, or hey, it's your impression that it's someone else's job to collect the cart so you can leave it wherever you want. And the other one is that they're leaving the carts. They feel like they're doing someone a favor. Oh, it'll be easy. Someone will pull in and they'll have a cart right there because that's what they love to do. They love to try to narrowly maneuver this cart with a busted wheel in between two cars and try not to scrape it up, let alone, you know, that one gust of wind's going to come through and that cart's going to end up hitting another car. I've seen some people take revenge on carts, and this is pretty impressive. I've seen some people do this, and I'm not trying to give anyone ideas because you could really find yourself getting into a physical confrontation, but they take the industrial-sized zip ties you know, the kind that you'd see, you know, not police officers, but just people in general that are hired for security keep on them. So if they don't have handcuffs, that they, so they take the cart and they take the industrial sized zip tie and then they zip tie it to the door handle of their car so the cart can't go anywhere. Isn't that something? Honestly, I don't know how you can tell the person left it there. Normally they leave it when they leave the parking lot, but I've seen people do things like that. I've also seen some people box cars in if they park terrible inside of a parking lot. You've probably witnessed this. I mean, I've witnessed sometimes people in parking lots doing things badly, and they probably think that no one is watching them. So if you're one of those that just will not return the shopping cart, tell me why. What's your excuse? Because it's going to be a flimsy excuse at best. Yeah, I'm going to shame you. Go ahead. Maybe you're so confident that you don't have to return it that you'd feel that it's okay to call into this radio program and brag about it. 314-436-7900. Let's go to Greg, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America, Greg.
Good evening, Mr. Wrecker.
At the ramp up. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And you wonder why we have to have mail-in votes, because we're too, it's too hard for us to get to the polling place. Oh,
hey, man.
America, wake up, get off your you-know-what, and do what we have just celebrated. People did the ultimate thing for us. They gave us the gift to have a country. Mm. Now, there's no reason why we have to leave our carts in the way of traffic, in the way of parking spaces, and there's no reason why we can't do the best that we can to get to the polling places and wait in line. Now, I know there are times where people can't get to the polling places, and we already have designated ways of doing this. Mm-hmm. But this idea about shopping carts also deals with the laziness of people who can't get out there, you know what, to vote. It's about the same thing.
Interesting. So there is a correlation. You're saying the ones that refuse to put the carts back because 20 extra steps is too much are the same ones that would be taking advantage of this mail-in ballot.
More than that, sir. More than that. It is just the beginning. You look at how people act, the way they even drive nowadays.
It's so bad. You know, I don't spend a lot of time on the roads anymore, but I probably am guessing that it's just as bad.
Well, if you look at it and you drive, like on the Innerbelt in the mornings, you can tell the people who are hoity-toity that they own the road. You can see the people who are selfish, who own the road. And then you have me, like, driving like Grandpa. But the idea is, I know I'm going to get there. I'm going to take my time, do the right thing, because I know that is the best thing to do.
You said you drive like Grandpa?
Well, if you think about... Well, my grandpa was a good, solid driver. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, I also had a grandpa who used to take us for rides, and he was a Leadfoot. All right. So that's the idea. You have a little bit of fun. What I am trying to say, though, there are times for fun, and there is a time for seriousness. And if you can't even put away your cart, you're going to tell me that you're a very nice person to your, neighbor. I mean, this is just a small conduit of the part of your life. Sorry, people. It's time to wake up. It's called manners.
Very good, Greg. Good to hear from you tonight. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Oh, man. That was a nice bye on the end, too. That might make one of our future sound drops. I think we're going to have to save that one. We'll take a look at your weather coming up in a few moments. A few other things I wanted to get to, and I really wanted to talk about what we're going to see and they're calling for, quote, avalanche of evictions, end quote. This is something I'm really concerned with, and I feel like the next type of stimulus package we put together are going to have to be in order to try to make it so we're not causing another giant housing crisis. And think about it even on a business standpoint. If you are renting a business space and you say to your landowner, the landlord, hey, we can't pay it because the government forced us to close and we can't do all of this. They don't want to lose the building on top of that, and they don't want to lose their tenant. This is going to be a tough situation. So let's talk about that coming up next on Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
This is the headline. The avalanche of evictions could be bearing down on America's renters. This is an article that came out on a news site out of Ohio. It says the United States wrestling with the economic collapse. And they talk a little bit about what's going to happen with those that can't pay rent. Think about it on an individual level, and then think about it on a business level. So if you are someone that is having a difficult time making rent because, you know, you don't have any income, or maybe your income is not enough to make up the difference, even with what's being made up here with the stimulus package that should have brought you some money in, or even in the case of, well, maybe you've lost work or you're an independent contractor, whatever it is, that's going to be difficult. Some states have actually halted evictions, so you can't be kicked out during this time. It doesn't mean you won't be responsible for the back rent. So what happens then? You're responsible for the back rent, or you're responsible for the back mortgage when those restrictions are lifted. And then all of a sudden, you still don't have the money. You don't have it. You go back to work, but you still can't make up for, you know, 2 months or 3 months worth of it. And then you find yourself in the same spot where you can be evicted or you could lose your home. That's going to be very dangerous. Then what happens if you're the one that actually is the owner? Let's say you're the one that holds the mortgage and you are a mortgage company or a bank. And then you're at the same time, maybe you're a business owner, and or at some case you own some commercial property. And you're also wondering, well, my tenant that has this commercial property cannot pay me the rent, and we're going to be stuck with it. I still have a mortgage I got to pay. I still have to do this or that. Now you're in trouble, too, because you can't do it. And then what good is it if you lose the building and it's not your fault because of everyone else not paying you? But so that puts some pressure on you, too. I think the government's going to be in a very tough spot to look at the way that they've helped businesses in the past, and then they're going to have to look at a way to try to make it so that there is some protections, or at least who knows if there's going to be some sort of bailout for mortgages. There, that could be something that will be on the burner if things get as bad as some people think they will be. I just hope it doesn't get to that. I think on the individual level, it's going to be a lot more difficult. And then you can't really find a way to disseminate the two. You can't say we're only going to give money to people that are behind, and we're not going to give anything to the people that have been responsible enough that they've been able to pay it. You know, they've been lucky enough. Maybe that's a better word. But they've been able to keep things going. So you're going to have to find yourself doing the exact same thing you did before with the past stimulus packages. You're just going to basically say, okay, here's a little extra money for your rent. And who knows if it even goes towards it. That's going to be a big mess. Avalanche of evictions. And then people are going to figure out, oh boy, what's that going to do to the housing market? Are we going to have another 2008? You know, and or maybe more people are okay to invest in a better spot. It's just going to be, it's going to be tough. I mean, there's so many other questions that are going to have to arise based on where we are today with this coronavirus that we just we haven't even touched yet. Haven't even touched. I saw a couple of things online. You can get this at KMOX.com. And this is one that talks about the county library system getting ready to open back up in the city. Five public libraries have reopened, which is good. But good news for those that have been waiting to get back into those libraries. All 20 St. Louis County Library branches will begin offering curbside service on June 3rd. You'll have to find your items, reserve them online, then pick them up at your branch. Book drop-offs will be opened at county libraries on Tuesday. You know what I wonder about this? If you have a book or whatever, just like us, I mean, my family, we get things from the library. We get a lot of stuff from the library. And when they decided to close things down, they just said, hold on to it. We've had things sitting in our house for 2 months, board games and things like that, that we got from the library. So we're waiting to change these things back out. Since my son is 5 and a half, he goes through books very quickly. So the library is a great way to get different types of books and give different challenges to him. But with that closed down, you don't want to go out and buy a bunch of books you're going to burn through so quickly. Because, you know, these books, by the way, aren't giant novels that you're reading to them. You're talking about, you know, 30 or 40 pages with only like, you know, 10 words on a page, if that. Lots of illustrations, you know, the children's books and ones that help kids to learn how to read. You want to be able to switch those out. The library is an awesome, awesome, awesome service for that. So we've been waiting to get that back open. So that's a big relief. Hopefully we'll be able to return a lot of the books that we had, and we'll see where that goes. So it says customers and staff will have to wear a cloth face covering inside the library location at all times. All return materials will be quarantined for 72 hours and then made available again. I was wondering how they're going to handle that, if they're going to put it right back on the shelf or hold back on it. That's interesting, a 72-hour quarantine. I wonder if there's something else that's going to be going on there. You know, there's something else here, and just the way that we're starting to open things back up. You probably saw this, too. The St. Louis Science Center is getting ready to open, but that's not going to be till June 20th. That still seems forever away, June 20th. Less than a month, but still, you say June 20th, you think forever. But we're almost halfway through 2020, if you consider that. KMOV did a good write-up on this. It says, the Science Center announced it'll reopen with limitations. All members and guests are required to have ticket reservation, so it's timed. You're encouraged to make an online reservation through the website. Masks will be required for guests aged 9 and older. Science Center will also have designated one-way walking paths and lines to maintain social distancing. So they want to be able to keep things safe. It's weird. Normally, you'd be able to walk in and do it, and I can't wait to go back to it. I know my son can't wait to go back to it. But how do you describe to kids, ones that don't quite understand, that they can't go around and touching everything? You know, and are you just going to keep the Purell in your pocket and you're going to be doing that all the time, all day, all night? You know, he's 5 and a half. He can't keep his hands off of things because the whole idea of the Science Center is you get to touch things. But there's a lot of shared surfaces. How are they going to sanitize these things? And they can't constantly sanitize it. Are they going to have people stationed and every nook and cranny inside of it, and as soon as they see someone touch it, they're going to run up and very quickly wipe it down with a Lysol wipe? Is it going to look like Disney? You know, everyone says Disney's super clean. And by the way, there's a reason for that, because they highly train the people that have little brooms and dustpans and things to clean up for everyone. You know, they don't ask twice. They go and clean it. They want it to look nice. They want it to be presentable. And by the way, you want to talk about people that go through the most training? It's the ones that are cleaning the trash in Disney. It's kind of an interesting fact I found out about Walt Disney World. Yeah, if you wanted to work there, and of all the jobs, you would think there are some that require high amounts of training. You wouldn't normally think that the ones that are holding the brooms and dustpans, cleaning up all the trash off the ground, are the ones that receive the most training in Disney World. Do you want to guess why? Well, it's because they're the ones that receive all the questions. If you're a tourist walking around the park, you know who normally you stop? Oh, I got a quick question. Do you know where this is or where that's at? They're the ones that always get the tourist questions, as opposed to the tourists going to certain locations and asking other staff members, kiosks, things like that. No, they'll stop someone, and they're going to stop the one cleaning up trash. And guess what? They need to know the answer. Disney recognized that. That's pretty smart. They unveiled, Disney did, the phased reopening of Walt Disney World themed resorts in Disney stores. I wonder what that's going to look like. Looks like July 11th is the proposed opening for the Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, and then July 15th for Hollywood Studios and Epcot. So you can find that maybe there's going to be an opportunity for you to go in and to that. I wonder if that means the crowds aren't going to be as large. And I also wonder, too, what that means for the travel restrictions, that they're going to be able to stop as many people coming in. And would that be the right time to travel if you've ever wanted to go to Disney? Is the price going to be the same, but there's not going to be as many crowds? I don't know. I think some people wonder. All right, we have one more segment left before we get to the replay hours. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Here we are on Overnight America. We're here for just a couple of more minutes. You know, I always have that Joe Biden song stuck in my head, and we haven't played it for so long. Do we need to do the Joe Biden song again? No, I got a couple of other clips that I want to play here, and let me do this one real quick. Our local astronaut that would have went up to space. We were so close to seeing it happen earlier today, but the SpaceX said, can't do it. I was watching the SpaceX feed. I learned a lot about the procedure of getting astronauts into space and some of the precautions they take. There was too much electricity in the air. There was a certain level, a threshold that they were hoping would make it. And they said if they waited another 15 minutes, they might have been able to do it. But by that point, the window was already shrunken. So they delayed the SpaceX launch for Saturday, which I can't wait to see for myself. But in St. Anne, right here in Missouri, right in the St. Louis metropolitan area, you have Bob Behnken, who grew up, went through the school system at Pattonville, went to Wash U for college, and always wanted to become an astronaut, and he did. And he's one of the two astronauts that'll be going up and making history with this SpaceX launch. He was asked about this.
All right, let's see. What's my next question here? How long did it take you to become an astronaut, Bob?
That's a good question. It's kind of how long did it take me? Well, I was born in 1970, and I became an astronaut in 2000, so it took about 30 years. It took Doug longer.
No, like 2 years longer.
Yeah, two years is 2 years.
All right.
So, no, it did take a while to kind of get all the things accomplished that you'd want to have on your resume when you'd apply to be an astronaut. I went through the test pilot school out at Edwards Air Force Base. I also got an engineering education and a degree in physics.
You got a PhD from Caltech.
I did. And so I got quite a bit of education as well as some work experience in a research lab at Eglin Air Force Base. And so I would say all those things probably took about 8 years or so. For me, once I had kind of wrapped up my undergraduate education, and it was pretty interesting when I was filling out my ROTC application, you had to fill out what job you wanted. And they actually had a duty code. You could write in astronaut on your dream sheet and see if they would give that to you. And they rejected my dream sheet and sent it back to me. So that's probably the first time that I kind of technically tried to be an astronaut by getting that duty code. And it took another 8 years or so before I moved to Houston.
You know, I had to look this up. I guess space camp is still a thing. Wasn't that every kid's dream to go to space camp? Wasn't that the coolest of all the camps to attend? So I go online. There's a website, spacecamp.com, and it was temporarily closed down because of COVID. Imagine how heartbreaking it would be for a kid to know that you're about to attend space camp and then, oops, sorry, don't get to go. Of all the camps, seriously, space camp was the coolest. There wasn't a better camp, period. No questions asked. When asked to give a rebuttal to the astronauts, they talked to Joe Biden. This was his answer.
I got hairy legs. Hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. In the sun. Come rub my legs. From the morning until the day's done. So the day's done.
We are at the end here.
I got hairy legs. Yeah. That's right. You heard what I said.
Too good. Too good not to play. Joe Biden. Where was he on CNN? Let me play this real quick. CNN talking about President Trump not wearing a mask.
He's a fool. An absolute fool to talk that way. I mean, every leading doc in the world is saying we should wear a mask when you're in a crowd.
Yeah, so keep in mind that when he was doing this interview with CNN, it looked so stupid ridiculous because they were like 20 feet apart. It was so weird how far apart they were from each other. So you had Joe Biden sitting down, and then you had, like, he left his house for the first time in, what was it, 2 months, 3 months, whatever, what was it? It took him forever to leave. So he was on one side of the yard sitting in a chair with his mask, and he was probably 15 feet away from the reporter. I don't know exactly. It was way more than 6 feet. And the whole idea of social distancing is if you are in close proximity and you can't get around it, then some people wear the mask because they feel like this is going to be the protection they need. When you're like 20 feet apart from each other, is it really necessary to wear the mask? No, it is not. So there's Biden calling Trump the fool. Now, keep in mind, this is on the after effects, the moments after where he went on to that radio show on Friday and said, if you don't, the Breakfast Club is the name of the show. Yeah, it's a popular show. Was that the same one Hillary Clinton went on and said, oh, I keep hot sauce in my purse? I think that was the same show. You know, they make the rounds or whatever. But it essentially said, if you don't know who you're voting for, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. This is what he said. Now, he's still getting a lot of blowback from that. And rightfully so. People shouldn't forget that. But good old Joe Biden has to go out there and call the president a fool. But I understand it is political season, and you practically have done almost nothing when it comes to getting in front of a camera because of the COVID. You've really stunted your ability to campaign. But the interesting thing is, in the polls, you're still doing pretty well. So I guess we'll have to find how that plays out. But then again, maybe it's because after this song came out, things were just doing so well for him.
He said he's not up yet. And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys, a bad crew.
Watcher, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Not really was the only white guy that really knew. He said, I'll meet you outside. And I said, what am I going to do? Corn Pop, he can't stop. Corn Pop, he won't stop.
That's fine, thank you.
Corn Pop, you can't stop. Corn Pop, you won't stop. Let's see. I had a couple of other clips, but I know we're running a little bit late. But that's okay. I'm just excited for this space launch on Saturday. And now I get to go rest. I'm just getting old. I realize my body can't keep up with me anymore. The things that I do, and I'm still sore from doing what just is we'd considered average work around the house. I thought for a while there my garbage disposal went out. I was a little bit right before the show here. Probably about 7 o'clock-ish, my wife calls me up and says, uh-oh, she tried to turn on the garbage disposal, it wasn't moving, and that was a big concern, rightfully so. So I go upstairs, okay, it's not working, so I look under the sink to see, okay, is there anything loose or whatever it is, and I see a little bit of smoke coming off of it. I'm thinking, oh, great, now I got to change this. So then I run downstairs, I flip the circuit on it just to make sure there's no electricity going to it. And then I go back upstairs and I call my dad and he's like, well, there's a reset button on the bottom. Sometimes when it gets jammed, you can jam the motor and press the reset button, see what happens. Well, we press the reset button and sure enough, it gets working again. Well, I'm running around and trying to figure out if this thing is going, our oven door latch broke. So there's this little hinge, two little hinges on the bottom of the oven. One of them cracks and breaks. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. Everything's falling apart just like my body. Just like my body. See, I went through that whole story just for that lousy punchline. We'll be back again tomorrow. Make sure to like us on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. And you know what? We have the great 2 replay hours for you coming up here. I think you're really going to enjoy. So don't go anywhere. You'll still get a lot of entertainment value out of those. We'll be back again tomorrow after Cardinals baseball. Sleep well tonight. Rest up, and we'll talk to you then. Have a good night.
My heart beats with the lonely rain. Your face again. Change the dial on the radio. Find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on the telephone. I don't.
really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.